I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, happy new year. This is the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills News, UK Twist, myself, Matt, Robin and Mark. And we ended 2023 on a high note. Can we carry this on in 2024? How are you feeling after the New England win?
I will feel a lot better after Saturday night and Sunday at 6 p.m. depending on how the other two results go. full of dread and horror, but in the back of my mind, I think we are going to beat Miami on Sunday, so I don't think those other two results will come in. I think there's something about Miami having 56 put on them. That's like 7-0 in soccer. I think I like our chances. But that's not going to stop me chewing my fingernails for the next 3 nights.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think so many different permutations.
Yep.
Could either be sixth or seventh, I believe, or out.
Two, six, seven, or out. Yeah, depending on how they go. Win and two, lose, and either six, seven, or completely out.
Yeah,
it's got to be a first. I don't know if there's had a situation where someone can win and be a two and lose and potentially be out. That does seem very unusual.
Yeah, but let's get on to it. Let's get on to it. Patriots. Initial thought, well, Mark, what were your initial thoughts going in? Because obviously you weren't there on the preview show, and then we'll see how we get afterwards.
Yeah, I thought we'd win comfortably. I thought that, like everyone, I didn't think the Patriots were up to much, especially offensively. I thought we'd cause Bailey Zappi a lot of problems. And that kind of that sort of happened in the way that we expected, in so much that we did cause Bailey Zappi a lot of problems. But as is our way at the moment, or certainly in the last couple of games, like the defense did their part and like on the whole looked excellent throughout, a few individuals especially, but the offense once again didn't live up to their side of the bargain. And unfortunately, I think a lot of it comes down to the passing game just isn't working at the moment. And the fact that we managed to control the ball as much as we did, have the turnovers that we did, the fact that we only contrived to win by less than one touchdown, for me, is hugely concerning. Not necessarily for the Miami game, but for beyond that, if we do go beyond that, there's something wrong with our offense still. And I feel like we've won a game and we're a game away from being the two seed in the AFC, and I'm being really downbeat about the whole thing. But watching that game, the way that the Patriots defensive line was getting through our offensive line like it was a turnstile, some of the throws Josh was making were all over the place. I can't remember seeing him have a game where he looked like he was so inaccurate since his first or second season. And some of the drops that our receivers had and running backs had in the passing game were just so unexpected. And it is a bit of a concern how our offense continues to play in the second half of this season.
Yeah, I think we spoke about it in the preview. Was it a case Brady's had his honeymoon period, or is it the fact that Allen is struggling with accuracy or issues? It turned out today that he had a pinky issue on his throwing hand. Was that it? Or was it a case that New England did play well and actually disrupted the flow of this offense?
I think it's about five things. I don't think it's any one thing. I think Joe Brady's had perfect phrase honeymoon period when he was an unknown quantity, and not just getting rid of Calamity Ken was the right move, maybe two games too late. It also meant that you were essentially getting a newish version of the offense. Well, that's been, it was 5-5, 6-6 that got rid of Ken. So that's five games. That's five games of tape the defensive coordinators have got. So that's number one, that they're not no longer an unknown quantity anymore. Number two is, as Mark says, the drops. Number three, I think Josh is slightly inaccurate, and that general sense of lacking of confidence. If a receiver doesn't have the full confidence of the quarterback, they hesitate slightly. He who hesitates is lost. I think that's number three. And I think the offensive line, which actually this season I think has been more than, you know, I think we were hoping to at least be adequate, and it's probably now above average, sort of seven out of 10. Last couple of games has looked a little ropey. So I think you add those things together and you have a slightly misfiring offense. You know, you take out the three drops, it doesn't look nearly so bad. You know, if he doesn't throw the pick, if he manages to get a couple more air yards under the ball to Diggs, that's probably another touchdown. You take out the kickoff return, New England get 14 points, and that one is 34. It's 34-14. Game of fine margins.
It feels like it's a bit of a, because I think you're exactly right. It feels like it's becoming a bit of a recurring theme now in the passing game, though, doesn't it? It's like we talk about that there's some tape on him. The passing game hasn't been wonderful, really, since the bye week. He didn't throw the ball brilliantly against the Chiefs. Against the Cowboys, the win was all down to the fact that we ran the ball every drive. And against the Chargers and the Patriots, Josh hasn't looked particularly comfortable. We don't find receivers very well. We have an awful lot of three and outs at the minute. I think it's as much down to offensive line and play calling as anything else. But you're right. Last 2 weeks, I think the O-line has struggled badly against pass rush. We're lucky against the Dolphins in so much that two of their best edge rushers are out injured.
Yeah.
So that helps massively. But internally, Mitch Morse isn't playing particularly brilliantly at the moment. I think he said as much himself. We need to figure that out. And because that's our major strength. And the fact that we've managed to win the last four games, despite the fact that we're not playing well. If Josh starts firing, it bodes really well for what we can do in the postseason. But it's becoming too much of a recurring theme now. You think before the bye, the Eagles game was probably the last time I remember Josh Allen having a really good game, where and even then, he was still like 29 of 51. You know, we're still missing an awful lot of throws at the minute. We need to figure out how to get Stefon Diggs going, because I'd love to know what's going on there.
That
it just feels the passing attack isn't where it should be at the minute.
I think
with the quarterback that we have, that should be our major strength.
Yeah, you look at who we targeted. Who obviously, you targeted Kincaid, 4 for 87, Shakir, 4 for 39, Diggs, 4 for 26, Gabe Davis, 2 for 21, James Cook, 1 for minus 4, and he targeted Murray and Sherfield. And I think Sherfield, there was talk about him coming in, he could be that solid number 3, but he hasn't really shown anything. And obviously, against the Patriots, it was either miscommunication or just bad concentration that it was dropping pretty much everything that was thrown his way.
Yeah.
And it's just that, can we find the reliable third receiver or fourth receiver, if you count Kincaid, if you've got Diggs, Shakir, Kincaid, is it Dawson Knox, who wasn't targeted at all, or if they still trust Gabe Davis, or they're going to give Deontay Harty a run. But even then, he's not lived up to his contract that he signed at the in the off season.
I don't think. I mean, for me, the third receiver is Shakir. It's Gabe Davis is number two. He seems to have his games where he will have 2-3 receptions for 20-30 yards, but then he will, every fifth game, he becomes Randy Moss. And all of a sudden,
Gabe.
Yeah, and all of a sudden gets like 7 receptions for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't mind who the other receivers are. The problem is that we're not getting the ball to our number one receiver.
Mm.
And he needs to have that game where he's, you know, four receptions for 26 yards is pathetic by his standards. And I'd love to know what it is that the problem is, because is he not getting open enough? There seems to be an awful lot of plays where he's not even on the field. So is he hurt? There was one play in this game where he was hugely open and got separation and Josh overthrew him. And that would have been a big touchdown. But there's something off with that connection at the moment. And I don't know whether it's just that he's getting double teamed or he's not right. I don't know what it is. Something's gone on with him and Josh after what happened at the start of the season. Who knows? But
yeah,
I think like we've gone away massively from those first 4 or 5 games where he was 100 yards plus, a couple of touchdowns every week.
Mm.
And we were complaining that he needed to throw it to other people.
Yeah,
it's got a bit too far.
Hmm. I think
we didn't have a running game as well. and then that's fallen away.
Yeah,
I think in essence, I think I read somewhere, I don't know who suggested it, that the reason why he was off the field a little bit more against the Patriots was obviously mainly when the Bills were running the ball.
But there were plays where it was where we threw it.
Mm.
And it was Sherfield out there in where Stephon Diggs would normally be.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
No.
What the fuck?
And normally, even if you are running it, even if you leave one receiver on the field, even if you play with a 6-0 lineman and 2 tight ends, you still have one receiver that's there just to take up a blocker. And it's normally Diggs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because he's the one who you have to account for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. There's more to this, I think, than meets the eye. I'm still not convinced he's a Bill next season.
Would that cap hit? With the cap hit that he'll the Bills will get?
I'm not sure. Well, I think he might, unless he's traded.
It'll be another DeAndre Hopkins, though, won't he? He'll go out sort of thinking that everyone's going to be lining up to sign a 31-year-old guy, and then he'll meekly come back to where he was before. Or either that or the Raiders go and get him.
Because they get him. Yeah. I don't know. There's something up with him, but I feel like if we're gonna win the thing, he needs to start getting 7-8 receptions, 80-plus yards. Yeah, but I mean, Josh needs to play a lot better, with everybody.
It might be Sunday might be a good opportunity for that Sunday night. Dolphins, yep. they'll probably give you a few looks in the passing game, won't they?
Yeah,
I think
it might be a good time to kickstart.
Mm, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, you mentioned obviously the offensive line. It's an interesting stat. Josh is, or the quarterback, can, or Josh mainly, because Kyle Allen's just there for the kneel downs, have actually had 606 dropbacks in the season. How many sacks has that offensive line given up in that time?
Probably not that many.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 7.
10.
Oh,
not many. But I would wonder how many pressures.
Has
that offensive line given up? And I bet that's a significantly higher number. It feels like there was more than 10 pressures in the first 3 series against the Patriots.
Mm. Let me have a look, see if I can get...
It feels like Josh is having to scramble, get the ball out very early, and it's causing us to miss throws quite a bit at the minute. He's not set, his feet aren't set, and if he's got some niggling injuries... There's more going on. Something's not quite right. There was a couple of drives that we had in the second half that made a big difference, that were like decent drives that effectively won us the game. But you know, we were one mistake away from giving up a drive where they score a touchdown, and then we're not even talking about the potential of missing the playoffs against the Dolphins. We're already out.
Yeah. I think the one thing that we've got to be thankful for is this freaking defense.
Mm.
Yeah. Good, good showing. Good showing.
I mean, yeah. other than the kickoff on there, that first quarter at least was probably the best I've seen in a defensive series in ages. I mean, what was it? 4 takeaways.
Yeah.
2 of them to Douglas.
No, what a pickup he's been. Oh.
Yeah, he had a fumble.
Going for next year as well. He's not even a either or choice at the end of this year, like Floyd.
Yeah.
Dakin Jones. It's got
since being traded to Buffalo, 8 games he's played, 4 interceptions, 8 passes defended, 2 fumble recoveries, an interception return for a touchdown and a sack.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, pretty decent.
He's been excellent and has really sparked some life into that defense. And I think that we all sat here when trade deadline was approaching and were demanding that a quarterback got brought in because we were in bits in that department. And thankfully, Brandon Bean listens to this show and realized what he needed to do and when it got him in. So well done, big ball of Bean, good man.
One other thing. A 40 passer rating allowed in the same since he's been a Bill.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. He's been excellent. And you know, where you've got was it Micah Hyde at the end of the game saying, "I've no idea why the Packers allowed this guy to get away."
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't it?
They're trying to make the playoffs as well, and they've got Jair Alexander, who is like deemed to be one of the best corners in the league, and yet like Razzle Douglas is outplaying him.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite since week 9, he's actually leads the NFL with takeaways. That's interceptions and fumble recoveries with 6. Winfield was 5th. Winfield and Stingley were 5, were tied 2nd. And there was 5 of them tied on 4.
Yeah.
And that's
amazing. And he's made such a difference.
Just think, and his grade, he's 5th among all cornerbacks when our favourite PFF grades with 83.8.
He's made, it felt like with the injuries that we had, it felt like our secondary was a massive weakness in our defence. And since he's come in, our safeties have got fit. Christian Benford stepped up. Taron Johnson's playing fantastically. And all of a sudden, that back 5 has become one of the best secondaries in the league and is playing to a level that is making teams not want to throw on us because they're not having any joy, which is something that's been a little while since we've been able to say that. And it's been great. And I can't speak highly enough of Terrell Bernard. I thought that going into the season, losing I've forgotten him.
Matt Milano.
No, not Matt Milano, the other one.
Oh, Jermaine Edmonds.
How quickly I forget thee. losing Jermaine Edmonds.
Those Bears now. Wow.
Yeah.
He's got his money.
He's happy. I genuinely thought, we had lots of conversations around draft time where we were like, I can't believe we're not drafting a linebacker.
Mm.
And I was absolutely panicking that we were going to potentially be playing Terrell Bernard as our middle linebacker. And my God, I think the way that he's built, he's more of a get after the quarterback type of linebacker than Tremaine Edmonds was, who is more of a coverage linebacker. Yeah. But Terrell Bernard can do it all. And just the amount of big plays and splash plays that he makes because he's getting after the quarterback and he's seemingly everywhere. And when it can be him and Matt Milano again at the start of next season, and Terrell Dodson's done a good job when he's come in, but with him and Matt Milano, Razzle Douglas, Christian Benford, God, if I don't think he'll stay, but if Trey White's there as well, that's a proper strength. That's a proper strength. Ed Oliver's starting to look really good. pair him with a fit Daquan Jones.
Greg Rousseau.
Edge rush is looking good if Leonard Floyd stays. Who knows what's going to happen with Von Miller after he was a healthy scratch. That's an interesting development. But that defense looks really, really solid.
Yeah, and I think he's 6.5 sacks. That's the most by a Bills linebacker since 2018. And Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah.
Three interceptions, three fumble recoveries, only just the fourth player since 1982 to record such a season like that. He's got 134 tackles, 84 solo tackles. I'm just trying to find Tremaine Edmonds' stats for this.
Well, on Sunday, why are you doing that on Sunday? You had another two sacks, another three tackles for loss, and three QB.
No, that was included.
Oh, that was included. Well, no, yeah, I was just pointing out some.
I don't recall. And this is probably recency biased in my thinking here, but I don't recall ever feeling like Tremaine Edmonds had a season like Terrell Bernard is having this season.
All right, let's have a look. Right.
Yeah.
2000.
I just don't ever remember like sitting here at the end of a season feeling like, God, Tremaine Edmonds was brilliant again.
Here we go. In his debut year, he had two interceptions, 12 pass deflections, two forced fumbles, two sacks, 121 combined, 80 solo, 41 assists, tackles, five tackle for losses, seven quarterback hits. Then it went down after that. One interception, 1.5 sacks, and then tackles went down. Tackles went up, but there was no... And so the sacks, so it was around the 100 or so for combined, but he just dropped off. And the best season from Tremaine Edmonds is rookie year. Bernard's just wiped the floor with it.
Yeah. I don't think anyone saw it coming.
No.
Yeah.
Hell no. I mean, it makes us feel, obviously, I say, everyone probably at the beginning of the season, we're going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to need to draft a linebacker next year. Yeah. Obviously, we said on the show that it's a weak spot for us.
Yeah, totally.
And I think just each week he's actually been better and better. And I don't know how he didn't get named to the Pro Bowl.
It's a popularity contest. Yes, I'm bitter that no one voted for me for class president when we had a thing when I was at school. But that's all it is. It's just a popular. Fucking Mahomes got it. I got into the Pro Bowl again because he's Patrick Mahomes. It's Sade in the Brit Awards over and over again.
Tua, why is Tua there?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Worst thing is Jalen Hurts isn't even in there. If we've got an NFC.
Yeah.
There's no Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And let's say we're talking defense, how well played. Obviously, Ed Oliver, you see the interception he had. I mean, he's the third alternative, fifth alternative, or some third alternative for it.
Mate, it's a joke.
And he's the best. He's statistically the he's statistically the best defensive tackle this season. Because compared to Quinnen Williams, who was in the pro games, Quinnen Williams, 58 total tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 interception. Mm-hmm. Ed Oliver, 50 total tackles, 14 tackles for a loss, 9.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and 1 interception.
Yeah.
They're dominating, but
it's names, mate. It's bollocks.
Yeah.
Like some of those people, you know, there's some corners like Jalen Ramsey has missed half the season and is in the Pro Bowl. It's bullshit. Mm. It's all like none of it matters. There's some players in there that just get in because they get in every year. It's crap. Yeah. Whatever. I hope, if anything, they print off a list of those Bills that have been snubbed and put it up in the locker room against the Dolphins and go, this is what everyone else thinks of you guys.
Yeah.
Go and show them why you should be in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, Exactly. I think that's the good thing. I mean, obviously, even I think they don't, they won't, they do the pro games before the Super Bowl, where most likely it could be end up that none of the Bills, James Cook and Deion Dawkins might not even be in the pro games.
Well, the pro game's even more of a joke than the actual nomination, that, isn't it? They might as well just have a game of netball or something. It's completely pointless. There's nothing there. There's no tackling. There's no anything. I mean, in principle, getting a nomination to a Pro Bowl should be a good thing. But it's so kind of politicized and forget about it.
Yeah, I just think it just shows that these stats and all the records that these players make just don't do anything.
No.
Because looking at it, obviously, Ed Oliver is actually obviously 9.5 sacks. That's his career, and the same, and he's the first match Jordan Phillips's total in 2019, which is 9.5 sacks, and there's still a couple of games to go.
Yeah, it's tricky when you do comparisons because now we're in a 17-game season. You kind of, that Patriots game was kind of the last chance to get the records because Kincaid got his 66 catch, didn't he? He went about, so you kind of go, oh, we still got a game left. You know, he could get past Pete Metzelaars, but then you've got that horrible fractioning of a 17th, multiply it by whatever a 17th is, 0.06.
Yeah. I mean, and then you look at Douglas. He became the first Bill with two interceptions and an interception touchdown in a single game since, I'm going to let you guess, when. I'll give you a hint in this one. It's in the 2010s. So I'm not going to push you all the way back. It's in the 2010s, and mm-hmm. Russell Douglas is the first Bill since sometime in 2010s.
Yeah.
So I actually have two interceptions, and one of them being a interception touchdown.
Pick six. I'm going to say 2011 Jairus Byrd.
Okay, Mark.
No idea.
Well, Robin, you're way off.
Oh, okay.
You're 5 years out.
5 years, not bad. That's about as far away as you can be in a decade, isn't it?
I was thinking 2016. That's what. That's where I was going.
2016. Lay it on it. Who was it?
It was Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Wow.
Against the Los Angeles Rams. On the night, I can never understand. Is it
Rams? 2016 game against the Rams. Oh, that was the last year of Rex Ryan, pretty much.
I can't tell with the American date. Is it the 9th of October or the 10th of September? Probably the 9th of October.
Is the year at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, the month comes first.
Right, okay. So it's the 9th of...
That's why I say 9-11, not 11-9.
So it's 9th of October 2016. Nickell Robey-Coleman with two interceptions, one as a pick six, and Russell Douglas actually matched that.
Hey, good lad.
He's been really good.
I think, and the one thing I think also, I mean, obviously we've criticised Sean McDermott a lot on there, and obviously since that article came out, it seems like there's still tendencies to go back to how it was and not letting to adjust, because let's say the Patriots did start putting a little bit of pressure on the game. Obviously we had enough at the end, and if it wasn't for that interception, for that kickoff return on the first play, the difference would have been a lot different. But credit other coordinators, other assistants, or credit McDermott, because you're looking at Bobby Babich. He was a safeties coach, and obviously when Hyde and Poyer first came over and actually worked well and wonders with that secondary team. He's then moved on to linebackers, had to deal with Milano injured, and actually, and Edmund's gone, and he's turned Bernard into a stud, and actually got the best out of Dodson. Do you think if McDermott decides just to stay with head coach, would you send him as a defensive coordinator, or would you look out elsewhere?
It's the difference. There's a big difference between being a position coach and being a play calling coach, isn't there? Mm-hmm. It's he may well have the moxie for doing it, but do you want to put Babbage into a team where he's not familiar with play calling? We all know what happened to Ken. Pretty good quarterbacks coach. Everyone seemed to like him. He seemed to be the natural choice for the next OC. Did not work out. Is this the right time to do it? The problem is, of course.
Oh, no. I mean the off season. I didn't mean right now.
I meant in the off season. I mean, people keep going on about the Bills Super Bowl window closing. I disagree. I think as long as you've got Josh Allen and the pieces, and you keep drafting well, then if you keep getting a Terrell Bernard every couple of years, or someone at that position, if you keep getting a Trey Wright or an Ed Oliver, then I think you'll always have a Super Bowl window with a decent quarterback. Draft a good wide receiver who's ready to play, and a replacement safety. I think if you can find a way of re-signing the edge and tackles, I think we're still good for another run next year. But do you want to put Bobby Babbage in the DC role to do that? Are you setting yourself up for another Ken Dorsey?
It's always something interesting to actually answer.
Well, the problem is, if you don't, another team is going to come in for him as a future DC, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to give him something, I think. So.
I mean, you say most of the coordinators started off as assistants. So Sean McDermott, one of them, before he became defensive coordinator, he was in and about positionals, and then went to defensive coordinator, then went to head coach. So obviously start somewhere, but I say it could be a case that McDermott decides to carry on or make the change, but that would be an off-season one. And we are now obviously looking ahead to the key matchup.
Yeah.
Of week 18,
night game, I think someone will say, is it the 8th night game?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Two Mondays, two Thursdays, two lates, a Saturday and night, and if we'll throw in a 9:25 there as well. So,
and then we'll just say, I think most Bills Mafia are saying this to the Dolphins fans at the moment, or Josh Allen will be daddy's home.
Yeah. He plays well. Someone pointed out, I should have written it down because I should have given the person the credit. He's basically a Charles Clay throw and an Isaiah McKenzie catch, faster catch, and getting out of bounds away from being something like 12-0 against the Dolphins. They're the only two he's lost was the Charles Clay missed catch in the end zone in his first year, and the Isaiah McKenzie where just everything went wrong. Heat stroke, half the defense was injured, guys falling over, exhausted. Two missed field goals, the butt punt, your butt fumble punt thing, end zone. They're the only two he's ever lost against the Dolphins. It's the in a funny way, it's the perfect game for him to get right with the passing game.
Mm. I think it's interesting. Obviously, he's won 5 AFC Player of the Weeks playing against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And obviously, we talk about the situation with scenes and all that. This one guy on Twitter, he drew up every different scenario, which includes the Pittsburgh game, the Houston game, the Jacksonville game, the Denver game, and the Buffalo game, and all the potential outcomes. Mm. And there is...
Don't include the ties. It just would be all right.
Yeah, these are just out and out wins. I say he's got Bills if they make it, if they win, he's got options to play Pittsburgh as a 7th seed. That's if Pittsburgh win, Indy win, and Tennessee win. And then again, if Pittsburgh win, Houston win, Tennessee win, they could get Pittsburgh. If Indianapolis and Jacksonville win, Bills win, they'll get Indy. Again, they'll get Pitt if Indy, Tennessee, and Denver win. They'll get Houston if Houston win, Jacksonville win. They'll get Pitt again if Houston, Denver, and Tennessee win. And then they will get Jacksonville if Baltimore, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Las Vegas win. And Baltimore, Houston, Tennessee, Las Vegas is another one of Jack's Jags Bills.
I don't care who it is. No. I frankly, if whoever we get at Highmark Stadium, I don't care, because it means it's one of those teams we should comfortably dispatch any of them, because I don't think any of those teams are that good. If I'm honest, I think if we win the game, I think we're talking about being in the divisional round. No, like without too much bother. I think if we lose, I think we're in a bit of trouble, because with the Ravens already announcing they're not playing Lamar Jackson, and with Tennessee being absolute toilet, I think. Dolphins. Sorry?
Beat the Dolphins. Tennessee.
They're still, but I mean,
but the thing is, Vrabel wants that New England job. He's gonna want to finish. I'm not handing Jacksonville the game against the Titans. I wouldn't even hand Pittsburgh the game against the Ravens. There's nothing the Ravens would like more than fucking the Steelers over. Even playing the kids.
But think of it this way: if you're Baltimore,
yeah,
you're in.
Yeah,
and I get that they want to fuck over the Steelers, but who would you rather have in the playoffs with you? Would you rather have the Steelers in the playoffs, or would you rather have the Bills in the playoffs?
I would
want Buffalo.
Yeah.
So you've got a chance to knock them out by losing.
I think the greater calculation is that even if you don't play Lamar, and even if you don't, if you rest a couple of the starters, you've still got the rest of the roster playing. And they're wanting to play for a starting role. I think
a lot of it
outweighs their let's throw the game thing, or let's not really try. Yeah, they'd rather have the Steelers than the Bills, but I just don't think that factors in. I think their all out hatred of the Steelers will probably trump all. I think it's a divisional game. They're going to want to win it. I'm not saying that the Steelers can't or won't, but I think the Ravens will be trying.
How do you fancy going to Arrowhead in the wild card round?
I want the Chiefs to come to us in the divisional round. I want the Chiefs to beat the Dolphins. I want us to beat the Dolphins first and foremost, and then the Chiefs to beat the Dolphins. Us to beat, let's say, the Colts or Jacksonville. Yeah, probably will edge it over the Titans. I fancy our chances in Arrowhead, but I want Mahomes to come to Buffalo.
As we said, by the way, the Steelers are 4-point favourites over the Rams, over the Ravens.
Ravens, interesting. Okay.
They got Rudolph, who's actually had a good last few games in relief.
Their running game looked really good in the last game. And it's a Mike Tomlin coach team. You know they're going to be resilient. I just think if they go in and they're playing the vast majority of the Ravens backups, and they've announced that health over everything, because I think one of our hopes was that they weren't going to want 2 weeks off before they went into the playoffs, which is effectively what they're going to give them. And they've got history of 2018 of doing this, where they had number one, they rested everyone for the last game, rest everyone again. They went in against the Titans and shit the bed absolutely shit themselves and lost in the first week of the playoffs. So a lot of people are like, oh well, Harbaugh's not going to want to do that again, and he's doing exactly that again. I think there's every danger that the Steelers go in there against a load of backups and backups who don't want to get injured, who they're there to make up the numbers, and there's a different competitive edge against a team like the Steelers, who is motivated. They have to win a game. The Ravens don't have to win a game, and that if, as much as you think you want to beat someone, there is always that niggly thing in the back of your head that says, if we don't win this game, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, the only way the Bills go to Arrowhead all relies mainly on Baltimore winning. So it'll be one of Baltimore, Indy, Tennessee, or Denver winning, or Baltimore, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Vegas winning, or Baltimore, Houston, Tennessee, Denver, or Baltimore, Houston, Tennessee, Las Vegas winning sends us as the sixth seed.
Well,
Kansas. The ones to make us seventh seed and come back to Miami a week later is a Pitt win, Tennessee win, Indianapolis win, is a Pitt Houston Tennessee win, is a Baltimore Indianapolis Jacksonville win, and a Baltimore Jacksonville win.
I think we just need to not worry about any of that, because yeah.
Let's just beat Miami.
I think the Steelers and the Jaguars are going to win. And I think it's
going to be 2-0, then, isn't it? If that happens, it's 2-0.
I think that's what it will end up being. We either win the game or we go home. And I can see that coming. And do you know what pisses me off? 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
12 men on the field. That doesn't happen. We're in the playoffs already.
I think for me, I like that one. My other one is the 59-yard field goal. For the Eagles because the defense did such a good job. They got them and it was fourth and forever. And it was like, oh, you're never going to make 59. And it just snuck through as well. It just, that one really sticks in my mind. Cause I was like, oh, we're definitely going to get beat now. Cause that's the gods are with you. If that one goes through in that.
Let's then talk Dolphins week 18, winner takes it all match. The last time both Miami and Buffalo faced each other in the game in the season finale,
yeah,
back in 1981. At Miami, and it was Miami 16, Bills 6.
Wow, luckily, not many of those players are still playing.
Yeah.
We'll probably be okay, I would think.
Yeah. We have Joe Ferguson's the quarterback. Joe Cribbs is running back.
Oh, he was a healthy scratch in the last game, so I don't
think.
I think a very young Frank Gore had a run out.
it's going to be interesting, because as we mentioned last year, the Bills are now 18-2 in December and January in football. They've actually they're 10-2 against Miami. Buffalo averaged 35 points against Miami in the past 10 regular season matchups. It'll be their fifth consecutive double digit season win if they win, and they had none between 2000 and 2018.
I don't think the Dolphins are any good.
I'm still not sold by them. I will give them credit. I try and be fair. They have beaten almost all of the bad teams, which is good, because that's the first step up in being good team, is beating the teams you're supposed to beat. But they can't beat anyone good.
No.
They beat the Dallas, and it was close to the end. And I'll credit them again. They kept fighting to the end, and they got that win, and they ran it, and they got there, and they ran the clock down, and it was a professional victory. But they didn't impress me. They didn't frighten me. They don't.
Yeah.
No. And and this is a Dallas team that we managed to score 35 points against.
Exactly.
And that's a Dallas team that on the road against a good side doesn't really show up. What's true of the Dolphins is what happened against Baltimore. That's who they are. A team that wants to win a Super Bowl can't ever be shifting 56 points to somebody.
No.
Just can't. They're defensively, I don't think they're anything special. They've lost their arguably two best players on defense, certainly in the pass rush. So, that should give Josh Allen a bit more time. I don't know. They're just they're going to score points, but yeah. I don't think they come up against many defenses, although they used to come up against many defenses like ours is playing at the moment.
Mm.
Not with as good a secondary as we've got.
No.
If the pass rush, if you can put Tua off, which is what we did last time, exactly. And you take him off the first read and you make it a bit tricky for him and you get the secondary to do it. I just think we win.
And Jalen Waddle's obviously coming off an injury.
Wobbling, isn't he?
He's not. I don't think he's going to be playing.
No, okay.
He was a DMP, wasn't he? He's been DMP this week, wasn't he?
Tyreek's recovering from an injury and doesn't look as strong at the moment. Raheem wasn't playing. I don't know whether he'll play at the weekend, but wasn't there. And as good as Achan's been, I don't think he's an all down back.
Yeah.
So they've got some problems.
It's not September Miami weather either. It's going to be it's going to be like 20 degrees centigrade kind of type thing. It's nice. It's quite a nice weather.
And actually, that sort of suits our passing game.
Yes.
The fact that you're not playing in blustery winds and you're not playing in snow and you're not playing in horrendous Buffalo weather probably suits Josh Allen quite nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not sweltering heatwave weather. Yeah.
If you look at the injury report for Miami, obviously Chubb's gone. He ain't playing. Phillips ain't playing. He wasn't listed on there because he was already on IR. But Tyreek Hill has been previously seen in a boot with an ankle. And obviously yesterday a child actually decided to set fire to the house because he had a lighter in the bedroom.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. That's what it was reported. It was reported as an accident that a child was playing with a lighter in the bedroom.
Christ alive. When he first saw that, you were like, bloody hell, you hope everyone's okay. But it's not ideal preparation, is it?
No. Xavier Howard is DMP the last 2 days with a foot injury.
Wow.
Mozart, knee and ankle did not practice the last 2 days. Waddle, ankle did not practice the last 2 days. Limited was Achane, Jerome Baker. Eichenberg, who didn't look too good last week against the Ravens, actually went off in that game. Javon Holland, knee injury limited. So there's a big injury list.
They're banged up, aren't they?
Yeah.
And conversely, our injury report was about as short as I've seen it for a long time.
Our backup safety was limited, DeMar Hamlin. Okay. Everyone else was full. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with his little right finger issue,
he was still good to go.
Yeah.
I think
Miami had 56 points put up on them.
Yeah,
last week. I don't know how you bounce back from that in week 18, middle of the season maybe, but I don't. That must be ringing in their ears, surely.
Which puts the point then the gameplay for it. We know obviously, Joe Brady likes to like game plan in advance and all that. It's got to be throw the ball a lot more. If the Ravens could put that on there, they're missing Howard. They'll have Eli Apple and Kohu.
I would love to get after Eli Apple. Such a dislikable person. I would love to just target him time and time and time again.
Let's say they've lost their two best pass rushers, so you're going to have more time for that offensive line to hold steady. There's not really much coming inside. Maybe Christian Wilkins, Van Ginkel is always seems to play well against the Bills.
Yeah.
But you've got a game plan to get that, whether it be the short intermediate, no screen games, because it seems like even with Brady, we can't do a screen game for shit.
No, don't know why we keep doing it. Do you know who the quarterback is in the league since he's come in that does more my brain's all
screen
over
passes.
Does what, sorry?
Screen passes.
No, not screen passes. I can't remember the phrase, but like the option to the running back and then
run part, RPO.
RPO, that kind of thing. So who's done more of that in the league? So like the pretending to hand it off to the running back and then passing the ball
and putting it back at the last minute.
Yeah, who's done more of that in the league than any other?
Since when? All season?
No, just in the last 5 games.
I'm going to say Tua.
Nope. Which quarterback would you say? Which quarterback would you say in the last 5 weeks has looked the best in the league?
Mason Rudolph.
I'll tell you.
Lamar.
Mr. Joe Flacco.
Really? They've been all right, actually. They've been all right, the Browns.
And he's come in and he's done it something like 70% of the time. And he's looked phenomenal. And like I saw tweets that were like when the stat was coming up and it was like, paying Joe Brady, do this. Just keep doing this the whole time. And so, yeah, we'll see. It's I'd love to see Josh Allen do a lot more of that kind of thing. than we seem to. We've been calling for it, but it just never seems to happen.
Yeah. So I think that is. I mean, obviously, get James Cook involved a little bit more because they were susceptible a bit, but I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, our secondary, if Hill is a no-go, which it potentially could be, depends on how bad that ankle is. But then again, he's played on that dodgy ankle for a while now. But without Waddle there, there's not really that wide receiver threat that I can see anymore. Because obviously we did take their previous good weapon in Sherfield that they had last year. But Gizeki doesn't even play for him anymore, does he? He's gone away. But is there really anyone else there in that wide receiver court outside Waddle and Hill that will scare you? And tight end wise that will scare you?
No.
Really.
Like I said, put them up against a decent team. I don't think that good. We just need to keep doing play action was the phrase I was looking for. Keep doing play action passes, and yeah, I think we'll be fine. We just beat Miami.
Yeah, that's what we do. Pass catching James Kirk as well. Make him another option as well. Just push it downfield.
Yep.
Short passing. Kincaid over the middle, Knox. This guy, so, punch him in the face.
And then we just got to get our defense to just carry on performing, and our defensive line, they're struggling a bit offensively. They've lost their best center. Obviously, they've got a couple of their interior linemen actually on injury report at the moment. So that's something that we've got to look at. And obviously, you've got Ed Oliver, who's going to command a lot. You obviously, Daquan Jones made that big impression on his return. Leonard Floyd. I mean, that defense, even though we're missing so many people, has become that aggressive again. That I won't say elite just yet, because there's still creaks to iron out. But they've shown that they can be dominant, and with a struggling offensive line, and how the Ravens, who are the best, got the best defense probably in the league so far, has done that. You can actually see our defense suffocating to her.
I feel like it's good to get Daquan Jones back, wasn't it? And he came through the game unscathed. You really hope he'll be with us through the playoffs.
I feel like a lot will depend on how our offense starts. Because the last couple of games, they've looked really, really stodgy in the early going. And the Chargers game, it felt like we were running through treacle to begin with, and they were kind of well in it when everyone expected us, having what happened to them the week before, we were going to walk all over them, and it really wasn't that way. We just didn't get we didn't move the ball at all. Felt like very much like that again against the Patriots. I feel like if we can start the first couple of drives, if we can just make it look really good, that will give them the confidence to go on from there and have a really solid game like we did when we played them the first time around. I think we were two touchdowns on our first two drives when we played the Dolphins last time. And they matched us to begin with and then dropped off. If we can start like that again, I think that will give us the good base to go ahead. It's when it starts to go wrong and it doesn't look good to begin with that I feel like we go into panic mode a little bit and we don't ever play a full, complete game. I think if the offense plays well, we win this comfortably. I think if the offense does what it's done in the last 2 weeks, I think it's probably questionable.
Yeah. So let's go. Who's your players to watch and your results?
I'm going to say, offensively, an obvious choice, but I don't think I've actually picked this player before, but I'm going to say Stephon Diggs. It would just be great if he has just a good game. Doesn't even have to have a dominant game, just a high single-figure game. And I'm going to say, defensively, I think if the pass rush can get after them, I think that makes the secondary's job a lot easier. So I'm going to say, hopefully, he continues his good run of form, AJ Epenesa. Ooh. And I'll go straight for my score prediction, if you like. And then we'll just throw it to Mark. I'm going to say Bills to win. I'm going to be brave. 34-13. I just think we get right, and it's Miami. We beat them.
Okay, you haven't had that much luck with your
I got one to watch. Players to watch is less than successful. Although I did say last time, Tyrell Dodson in the run defense.
Yeah.
I was wrong about Lenny. Yes. So playing it a bit safer offensively, just in shorter selection didn't quite work out.
No. So Mark,
offensively, you might have heard of this guy. He's kind of up and coming and a bit lesser known, but I think he might have a breakout game where he's struggled in the last couple. He's called Joshua Allen.
Joshua Patrick Allen.
Never heard of him.
Have you heard of him? Yeah, I think he's right.
Fresh kid.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a chance. He's got a chance. I'm going to say that this is get right game. Under less pressure because of their pass rush. Secondary banged up. Not much to write home about. This is the game where he finally comes good. 300 yards. Good passer rating. Looks really solid. Defense, I'm going to say Leonard Floyd. Gets after Tua a lot, causes a lot of disruption and causes a lot of problems. My score prediction will be 28-21 Buffalo.
Okay. Defensively, I'm going with Terrell Bernard. Even if Mozart is still out, there's still a Shane there, and they do have a couple of others that could run it a little bit, but Bernard is the key on there. We know what type of season he had and what type of impact he is having as the middle linebacker in this defense. So he's a key in there, especially in the run game. Offensively, who did I go with? I went with Mitch Morse last week. Wasn't the best performance.
Not ideal.
I think I've had all five offensive linemen now, which is all right. I'm gonna go with Big Time Gabe.
Oh, okay. This is Randy Moss game.
Yeah, it's Randy Moss game. He actually breaks out. You see a pattern in some of his games. He has one big game. He has a few crappy games, but he always seems to, in the big games, really step up.
Yeah.
And this is one of the biggest games of the season. So I'm backing him to step up and actually help lead us to a 31-21 victory and the number two seed in the AFC.
That would be awesome. After the season we've had, the ups and downs, everything that's gone on, if we manage to finish the season as number two seed, my God.
I'm coach of the year.
Yeah.
Honestly, but it makes you think, why on earth did we ever give Ken Dorsey a job? Because if we manage to finish number two after he's gone, winning every game, it'd be quite a thing.
So
I love the fact that it's in our grasp. Props to Baltimore for doing what they needed to do. Let's hope they go and do it one more time on Saturday night. I can't see it, but you know, one more would be good. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on Sunday night?
Apparently there's going to be more Bills fans there. There's going to be Dolphins fans.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, if the Dolphins fans are tourists, aren't they? They don't care.
It's going to be interesting.
If it comes down to you have to win or you're going home, what a motivation that is. Because, again, that I think that plays a part. The Dolphins know, regardless of what happens, they are in the playoffs. And there is the motivating factor by winning the AFC East and getting the number two seed and all of that. But in the back of their mind, they do not have to win this game.
No,
the Bills have to win the game.
We'll send the Dolphins to KC.
Yeah,
get KC to come to us, and then we go to the Ravens.
Browns. To be honest, well, Browns may go to the Ravens.
That's going to be
AFC North divisional round game.
Yeah, having had the Ravens off for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, to be honest, if we get knocked out in the divisional round by the Ravens, I won't be too disappointed with that.
Well, if we win, we wouldn't play the Ravens in.
Well, no. If we did in the championship game, if we got to the championship game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Based on, and that's what I said. Then we lost to the Ravens. I wouldn't be too disappointed in that because they have been pretty much the best team this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for another 2 weeks when we talk about that.
Let's get Sunday out of the way first.
Let's get in the playoffs first.
So early Monday morning, so we're all going to be shit-faced and knackered for work. If you haven't already got the day off, obviously follow us on all our socials, me, Mark and Robin's socials. Follow the UK Bills on their socials. And for the three of us, Mark, Robin, myself, Matt, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Anything about heart? You know anything about work?
No.
That's who we are.
Three. One, two, three.